This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton in studio with Ashley Thornburg. We're in Fargo. Sue Balcom is in our Bismarck studio.
Sue, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's time for another installment of Main Street Eats, and it is time when you walk out to the garden, and it's just, hopefully, anyway, overflowing, and it's time to start thinking about how to make this bountiful harvest last.
Right. It's actually called the fifth season, and that would be the season of winter in North Dakota. There's construction in the summer, and then winter time is like, got to eat canned vegetables, right?
So it's the canning season we're going to talk about, huh?
Right. And there are a lot of people that come by the farmer's market and ask questions about canning, you know, like, what should I start with? Or, you know, can I can corn? Can I can green beans? Well, you have to be a little bit cognizant of what you're doing based on low acid and high acid fruits and vegetables. Low acid vegetables absolutely need to be pressure canned. So if you're a novice and you've never done any canning before, we always say start with tomatoes, which are actually a fruit, you know, I think, instead of a vegetable. And they can be processed in a hot water bath.
And they're high acid, so they're a little safer to deal with?
Correct. But to be on the total safe side, the USDA and all the extension people recommend that you buy lemon juice. Don't use fresh squeezed lemon. And when I do quarts, I add about a teaspoon of lemon juice. When I do pints, about a half. Then you add probably that much salt to those jars. And that way you're ensured that that acid level is high enough to be canned safely.
What does the acid level of what you're canning really have to do with how safe it is in the end?
Botulism. Botulism grows in low acid, low oxygen environments. It's actually carried in the soil. So when you're doing something like corn or green beans, which are very low in acid, you absolutely have to use a pressure canner to do those. Now that takes, that's always like the first words out of everybody's mouth. You're going to blow yourself up because your pressure canner or cooker is going to blow its lid. Well, an Instant Pot, just to put your mind at ease, is actually an electric pressure cooker.
I've got one of those.
And everybody I know really loves them.
Yeah.
My son said you can make a hard-boiled egg in an instant. I'm thinking, get a little more creative than that, will you, kiddo?
Hard-boiled eggs are pretty easy.
Yeah, in a regular – have you ever seen them in the grocery store? I'm like, who in their right minds would buy a hard-boiled egg when it takes 5 minutes to do that? But that's a whole nother segment.
It's a pretty good markup. Let's talk about the jars we're canning in.
Well, first of all, in fact, somebody just sent me a photograph of somebody – at a farmer's market, and the rings or the bands on their jars were rusty and the lids were kind of bulging. You want to be very, very careful when you can something, whether it's water bath or pressure canned. Please go to your Menards or Lowe's or wherever and buy some ball or Kerr jars. You can usually get about a dozen of them in, you know, wide mouth, narrow mouth quarts, wide mouth, narrow mouth pints and half pints. And you can get fancy ones too if you so desire. But buy brand new jars and especially the bands and lids. Now, if you happen to have a mom that had a whole basement full of jars and you check them carefully to make sure that they are not a mayonnaise jar, but they are a ball or a Kerr, and that they have absolutely no chips or dings or scratches, you can reuse those, recycle those jars, but always, always, always can with brand new bands and lids. The bands get rusty. It's disgusting. The lids, if you use them a second time, you're never insured of a good seal, and that's the important part. So let's say you're canning tomatoes. You want to dunk them in really hot water and then cool them off quickly in an ice water bath. And then you can peel the skins, cut off all the blemishes. And you can load those cold into your jars, which have been washed with hot soapy water and rinsed well. What you never want to do is have a cold jar that you're going to put in a boiling water bath. So usually I keep all of my jars together on the counter in next to the where the water is boiling so that they stay warm while I'm filling them. So you want to do this, like do all your tomato peeling and chopping up at once, and then wash all your jars, and while they're still warm, load them up, put that salt and lemon juice in, wipe the rim very carefully with a damp paper towel to make sure there's nothing there. Then your lids and bands should come out of semi or almost boiling water because they should be hot when you put them on the jars. And then tighten those lids or those bands on those lids just until they stop, because you want the air to escape as they're being boiled. And then when that air escapes, it creates a vacuum that pulls that lid down, and there's a rubber gasket on there that seals. So you fill your jars, get the lids on, get them in a hot water bath. It's like 40 minutes for a quart of tomatoes. Very carefully pick that rack up, and the less you handle those jars, the better your seal is going to be. So use proper tools. You can get special things to reach in and get your canning jars out of that hot water. Set them on your counter and leave them alone. The most joyous thing in the world is when you're sitting there in the evening and you're listening to some Prairie Public radio station, and you hear that click, click, pop. Oh, what's going on? Well, your lids are sealing, and that's music to a canner's ears.
You know, my mom was a home ec major in college, and she had all this stuff, including the jar lifters and the deep pot and the canning rack and the right kind of jars and all that stuff. And she made a chili sauce that we still keep alive in the family. I've got a brother who still makes it.
That's awesome, because, yes, canning is something that is – it's fun, and it's so rewarding in the middle of the winter to be able to go shopping in your root cellar.
Yeah,
like, oh,
right?
What should we have for supper? Well, we've got canned this and canned that, and pressure canning. There are a lot of people that have started pressure canning also. And it's basically the same process, only you're canning under increased pressure so that the ingredients heat up. And the pressure canned vegetables that I make are kind of the same process that you would buy in the grocery store.
When your lids get a little bit too old for canning, do you want to just recycle them right away, or can you still kind of use those, you know, for leftovers, but just not the long-term storage on a shelf?
Are you talking about, like, if you have a box of lids you've had for years and years?
Yeah.
You know, you could always use those when you're making jams and jellies. Jams and jellies have such high sugar content, and you eat them quicker than anything else. And so you could use those lids on there. But I think that I've never had lids that haven't sealed unless they're the really cheap ones. Your really good quality lids should be able to be stored in a dark, cool place for a long time. Okay. Now, as I prepare for the zombie apocalypse, I'm always thinking ahead. So I have what's called Tatler reusable canning lids. And those are reminiscent of those old rubber-ringed, you know, jars that snap shut with the metal clasp on there. So they're a plastic lid. You can get the small ones and the large ones. And then you have a rubber gasket. And they're a little bit tricky to learn how to use, because once you pull them out of a hot water bath or a pressure canner, you need to tighten the lid on them right away. You need to absolutely do that so that they seal. But I'll tell you what, if you can get a Tatler to seal, they never let go. I got to mention this on a safe, you know, just for your safety. When you take a can or a jar of vegetables from your root cellar, you want to wipe off the top and outside of the dusty jar before you open it. And please, please, please make sure that seal pops when you have to pry it off. If it comes off easily, if there's any mold on the bottom of that lid, if there's any mold around the neck of that jar, don't be foolish and don't become a headline on Prairie Public Radio. Throw it out, okay? Recycle the jar, but throw away the lid. The bands you can recycle and reuse again as long as they're not rusty. And a lot of times you should really remove that band once that jar has been sealed properly. But we have the occasional mouse that gets by, our cat in the basement, and they will chew the rubber on those tattlers and or a regular lid. So put a paper cuff on there before you put that band back on to keep the rodents away if they happen to get in there. And that will also keep any leaking that happens, like if a lid fails to seal on that band. It'll keep it from rusting so that you can reuse it. We use muffin cups, you know, like what you'd make a cupcake in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what they call those. Little cupcake cups, I guess.
Yeah.
And those fit perfectly over those narrow mouth jars, and then coffee filters work on the wide mouth jars.
One quick question here. We've been talking about fruits and vegetables largely here, but I know some people can meat. My mother never did that, but is there a particular issue we should be aware of if we're canning meat?
Well, I remember leaving my grandma Meidinger's house one time, and my mom and dad were having this little discussion in the front of the car, and they're like, "Did you know that sausage we had for supper tonight's been in her basement for 7 years?"
Well, thanks for telling
okay.
me.
Well, I'm still here, so we must have been okay. I would not recommend that, but yes, I love pressure canned meat. You have to pressure can it, and you shouldn't leave it in your basement for 7 years. Although, you know, if you're thinking ahead, like to the end of the world or something, you might want to leave a few
jars. It's not like a fine wine, though, I take it.
No, it doesn't get better with age. But I'll tell you, canned, if you make your own sausage, if you can it before it's smoked, it's phenomenal. And chicken, oh, my mom's friend Gladys used to can chicken breasts and make chicken salad sandwiches. There is nothing better in the whole world. Nothing.
Do you want to do cool, dry, kind of dark?
Absolutely.
Storage? Will it matter?
Yep, okay. Yep. Always, it's kind of like photographs and canning and anything you want to preserve. Sunlight is bad. You know, sunlight will fade, and you don't want your jars getting too hot. I've actually been at farmers markets and have had lids pop while we're there if it's 100 degrees.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like, what's that noise? Is it a shooter? No, it's your canning lids are releasing their seal from the pressure.
That gets in the way of sales, I take it.
Totally. Yes, we can talk about that a little later, but definitely you want to always store things. The cooler, the better. I feel like a princess at my house because I have a freezer in the garage, and I have three refrigerators in the house.
Oh, that is royalty.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just like, I don't have to go down the basement to put this in the freezer. I can just stick it here or the refrigerator here. And yeah, it's a glorious thing. So what we do is we have one refrigerator that we use specifically for things that we really want to keep safe. You know, you keep it at about 40 degrees. Which the health department recommends that refrigerated foods are at 39 degrees or lower, not freezing, but just around that temperature. And so we can keep our onions and carrots, canned goods, canned juices and stuff that we want to make sure and preserve in that extra refrigerator that we have.
Well, the bottom line here is before you start canning, know what you're canning and what you need to do.
Absolutely, and that's what your extension agents are there for. If you have any questions, you be sure and call them.
Well, we check in with Sue Balcom every week.
We appreciate it, Sue. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, guys.
What's happening is next.